Okay, it's a blessing to be with you this morning. And if you take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 5, we'll be in this chapter, but I want to read one verse to you. And that's in verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Here's the key. Why is it that thou hast sent me? Let's pray. Father, we come before you with humble hearts. Lord, we need your grace. Father, I believe this passage is certainly an important passage. And Lord, I would pray that your Holy Spirit would just ingrain in our hearts the truths within this passage. Father, that you would not only stir us, but change us. Father, that you would give us a spirit of determination, a spirit of fight for what is right, a fight for a cause that you've given us to fight for. Oh Lord, I pray you would have your perfect way in this short time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're all familiar with the story. It's a great story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And how Nebuchadnezzar, of course, tells everyone, you're going to bow down before my image. Isn't there a lot of stories in the Bible you just wish you were there, you know, to see the whole thing? I mean, seeing all those people bowing down and these three standing up like sore thumbs. I mean, that would have been great. And then, of course, Nebuchadnezzar's a little upset that they disobeyed him. And so he tries to intimidate them and said, listen, see how hot that furnace is over there? That's where you're going to be if you don't bow down. And of course, he tries to intimidate them and so forth. For time, we won't turn there. But let me read you this section out of that context. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Isn't that great? We're losing that today. Christianity today is all about circumstances. Christianity is all about, well, I'll serve God if I get the raise. I'll serve God if He blesses me with kids. I'll serve God if all the circumstances fall into place. I'll serve God. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what, King Nebuchadnezzar? Our God is able to deliver us. But regardless, if not, if we burn today in a fiery furnace, we will not serve you. We will serve God. What was the truth they were putting across there? The simple truth that the circumstances never change the cause. We are created by Him and for Him. The cause is to glorify Jesus Christ, no matter what. Folks, we can't control what comes at us. Oftentimes, you cannot control the circumstances. Now, sometimes you create your own circumstances, but oftentimes, we can't create the circumstances, the difficulties, the trials, the sufferings that come our way. But I can't control my response. And by God's grace, may we get the conviction down that the circumstances never change the cause. Now, as we go to this passage, obviously the context is God called Moses to go to Egypt. And Egypt over and over is referred to, you see the phrase, the house of the bondage, the house of the bondage, the house of bondage. Used 10 times, referring to, obviously, Egypt and the bondage of the children of Israel. And they were there for 430 years. Couple million, 3 million, whatever people. Millions of people in bondage. And God said, Moses, I want you to go there. And I want you to bring the message of redemption. Well, we all know Moses is like, oh, I don't think so. I can't talk and all that. We know all the objections Moses raised. God said, I want you to go. I want you to go. Folks, it's not hard to understand the analogy. Of course, all analogies break down, but there's still that analogy. God has called you and I to take the message of redemption to the house of bondage of sin. He has. Listen to Isaiah 42. Stay there in Exodus 5. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Of course, referring to Christ, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Again, Isaiah 61, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Just as Moses was sent to the house of bondage in Egypt, you and I have been sent to the house of the bondage of sin. Now, why is that important to understand? Well, as we look at this challenge to you and I, that we must have the conviction in ministry, wherever ministry you are involved in, you're to bring that message of redemption, glorify Jesus Christ. We must have the conviction in ministry that the circumstances don't change the cause. As we look at this passage, I believe we're going to learn two valuable lessons why we need to have that conviction. Now, look at chapter 4, verse 29. Chapter 4, verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs and signs of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Now, here it is, Moses, you know, initially he's like struggling with the Lord, the calling, the go, and so on and so forth. But then he surrenders, he's going to obey God, he goes, and his initial contact with the people he's going to bring the message of redemption to is pretty good. It's like, oh, this is awesome. They're excited. I'm excited. This is great. I love ministry. Right? I love pastoring. I love being a missionary. Things were wonderful. But then we come to chapter 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Folks, the first lesson we're going to learn from Moses and ministry here is number one, and the reason why we must have the conviction ministry if the circumstances don't change the cause, and how we can make sure we have that, is number one, we must face the reality of the circumstances in ministry. We must face the reality of the circumstances in ministry. Now, there's, I think, three key circumstances we're going to see here of the reality of ministry. So what are those three under facing the reality of circumstances in ministry? Well, the first circumstance you need to understand is this. You will experience opposition in ministry. You say, okay, tell me something I don't know. So often, right? As soon as opposition, oh, I must not be where I should be. Oh, something. I missed it. There's opposition. It's good. Shouldn't it be wonderful? You will experience opposition ministry. First thing Moses bumps into is what? The leader of the house of bondage, Pharaoh, who considered himself a what? God. And the first thing he runs into is Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, hello, who do you think you are? I don't know your God. I'm not even going to listen to you. Opposition. It was like, welcome to the ministry, Moses. Glad you came. Who is your God? I don't need your God. That was the attitude of Pharaoh. Then we read on. And they, in verse 3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go. We pray thee 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said to them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from the works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people land now are many, and ye may make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as here too, let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you're familiar with the story. So instead of giving them straw and already trying to meet the quota was difficult enough, and now they said, Pharaoh's mocking them, saying, obviously you have plenty of time to go sacrifice to your God. That means we're going to have you go get your own straw if you have so much time. But then the quota had to stay the same. They still had to meet the same quota. But now they're doing this additional work going throughout, and says they went throughout the land of Egypt finding straw in addition to everything else. It's not hard to see the analogy to the house of the bondage of sin. Listen to just some passages. We won't turn there. I'll just read them. As far as, because folks, we're coming into, who's the head of the leader of the house of the bondage of sin? Satan. I have an older brother who's saved. I have a sister who's unsaved. Do you think Satan's going to say, oh, hey, Steve, you come to bring the message of redemption? Oh, hey, sure, come on. Hey, don't let me hold you back wrong. He's going to oppose me with all his might. Listen to what it says, Ephesians 2:2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The idea there in the Greek princess is ruler, commander, chief. He's the Pharaoh of the house of bondage of sin. Luke 22:31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God, of course, small g, of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Folks, you're going up against the Pharaoh of the house of bondage of sin. And he says, who do you think you are? And his opposition is going to be fierce. We saw it in Pharaoh's attitude. We saw it in his action. He made life more difficult. Have you ever run into that? Have you ever started witnessing someone and their life starts falling apart? Have you ever been there? Or your life, things start going wrong. Let me ask you, at that point, will your circumstances change the cause? Because guess what? My brother's still unsaved. My sister's still unsaved. Your family's still unsaved. Your loved ones are still unsaved. But what are you going to do? When life trials come your way and they get difficult, and you're like, it just changes everything. It doesn't change anything. They're still in the house of bondage of sin. The circumstances don't change the cause. But here's what happens. When those things happen, the circumstances happen, it becomes about me. And it's no longer about him. If we're going to do ministry, we need to have that conviction that the circumstances don't change the cause. Because we must face the reality of those circumstances. One of those realities is you will face opposition. But secondly, matter of fact, we don't have time to turn there either, but listen to Acts 26:18. Paul said this, great passage. He's given his testimony, his calling. He says, this is what Christ called me to do. He said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Folks, you're going to face opposition. That person, that loved one you're witnessing to, might get very difficult. But don't you give up. Don't you give up. Her eyes are blinded. They're under the power of Satan. God has sent you to the house of bondage of sin. You know what's interesting? God doesn't say, oh, that's right, Steve. Oh, you're up against Satan. Oh, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, he knows what to tell me. Ephesians 6. Steve, put on the whole armor of God. Don't you dare run. You stand. Stand. And you do battle. Because that's what I've called you to do. And you get that shield of faith up so that the fiery darts don't hit home, right? God tells us everything. See, get the breastplate of righteousness on. Get the sword of spirit out. It's the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Don't run. Stand. Ephesians 6. So you will experience opposition. But two, and this is a killer one. I've been there, done that. You will experience disappointment in ministry. Look at verse 10. And the taskmasters of the people went out and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye get you straw where you can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters set over them, were beaten. And demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today, as hitherto? And then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto who? Who did they cry unto? Pharaoh. That's interesting. Go back to chapter 2. Verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Israel died, and Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of bondage. But here life's getting very hard, and the very people that cried unto God for redemption now are crying unto Pharaoh. Crying unto Pharaoh. And look what it goes on to say. It's kind of nauseating, actually, verse 16. There is no straw given unto thy servants. Talking to Pharaoh. And they said unto us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. So here they are, turned to Pharaoh, and talking to him, we're your servants. Don't treat us like that. Appealing to Pharaoh. But it gets worse. Look at verse 19. The officers, children of Israel, did see that they were in evil case. After it says, you shall not diminish aught from your bricks or your daily tasks. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way. So Aaron and Moses are waiting because they knew the leaders went in to meet with Pharaoh. Now, if I'm Moses and I'm Aaron, I'm waiting for them to come out and say, oh, we're so ready for redemption. What does God want us to do? You know what I'm saying? We've had it with this guy. We've had it the way he's been destroying our lives. We've had it. I do a lot of counseling, and it's amazing to me. People's life is just going downward, downward spiral. They continue to turn to the things that got them there, rather than to God. Oh, they cry, but they don't cry unto God. They want to know what He wants them to do. And their life continues in a downward spiral. It's disappointing. It's heartbreaking. But here's Moses expecting them to come out the same things like, what's God want us to do? But look what they say. Verse 20, and they met Moses and Aaron who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. Who cares what Pharaoh thinks? But that's what they said. And in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. That had to be so disappointing for Moses. I mean, really, then you think if you were Moses, what you would have said? Oh, I understand. I don't think so. Oh, so what are you people thinking about? God has sent me to redeem you. This is not about Pharaoh, it's about God. He's going to do a great work. He's going to deliver you. But you're so consumed and concerned about Him. Things of this world. Lust of the eye, pride of life, and so forth. Here's the point. Moses experienced disappointment in ministry. He experienced the opposition ministry. He experienced disappointment. And then next, I need to move quickly. So people will let you down. People are going to disappoint you. Pastors will disappoint you. So what are you going to do? Do those circumstances change the cause? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because that pastor didn't die for me. Those fellow classmates didn't die for me. That teacher didn't die for me. Jesus Christ died for me. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. And it's the love of Christ that constraineth me. So no matter what may come my way, the circumstances never change the cause of living to glorify Jesus Christ and taking the message of redemption to the house of bondage of sin. But we go on. Look at verse 22. So not only will you face one of the facing the reality of circumstances in ministry is that you will face opposition in ministry, you will face disappointment in ministry, and you will experience discouragement in ministry. Look at verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? That's Moses talking. Right? Who's he blaming now? Told you at the beginning, God. I told you so. I told you I wasn't the one. Now look what's happening. You know, God, it's your fault. So he said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? You ever feel like that? Teaching in Sunday school class, teaching whatever, kids club, teaching. And you're like, there's no results going on here. Matter of fact, things are getting worse. That's what Moses was experiencing. Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. To use New Testament lingo, people saved, goose egg. No one redeemed. I got quickly closed. So the first key point was we need to face reality of the circumstances of ministry. You will meet opposition. You will meet disappointment. You will meet discouragement. But the second key point here, if you're going to have the conviction that the circumstances don't change the cause, is you must focus on the Redeemer. You must focus on the Redeemer of the cause. Look at chapter 6. Quickly. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out. In other words, you need to focus on the power of God. The power of God. Then he goes on. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Moses focusing on who I am, the person of God. He's awesome. I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abram, unto Isaac, unto Jacob. Look at the end, verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them. The end of verse 5. And I have remembered my covenant. Focus on the promise of God. Want to have conviction that circumstances don't change the cause? Focus on the Redeemer. The power of the Redeemer, the person of the Redeemer, the promises of the Redeemer. And then go down to verse 7. And I will take you to me for people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The purpose of God. To reconcile you to himself. To reconcile the loss. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and knowledge and the truth. We don't have time to develop more chapter 6, but over and over he stresses what? I will. I will. I will. You're going to quit. You're going to quit ministry if you're focused on you. You're going to quit ministry when in your focus it's about me and it's not about him. But Moses learned two valuable lessons here. Here's the reality of the circumstances of ministry. And here's where I need to focus on the Redeemer. Real quick, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And he goes on, we're troubled, we're persecuted, but we faint not. We faint not. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, the circumstances, but the things which are not seen, our Redeemer, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Folks, if I give up, if I quit, my brother still be in the house of bondage of sin? Absolutely. Does it change the cause one bit? But God's going to allow those circumstances to come into my life, because that's when Christ is truly magnified in your life. Because people expect you to respond a certain way. But when you respond in a way that's not expected, they say what? Something's different about them. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Please have a conviction that circumstances will never change the cause of serving Jesus Christ. Glorifying Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for this time in Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.